This is MSO News Sports. Our North Shore football coverage continues with Salem High football coach Matt Bouchard. They're taking on Stoneham in the Final Four matchup this coming Friday night at Manning Field in Lynn. And so we welcome Coach Matt Bouchard. Coach, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Excited about this week, and so far the team's been working pretty hard. So.
Well, I think you have been. There's no doubt about that. 8-2 right now on the season. The number 3 seed in D6, taking on number 15 Stoneham. So the Stoneham team, Matt, I'm sure you were very well versed on them, but they knocked off number 2 Abington 22-14. Then they beat Bellingham, the number 10 seeded team, 26-20 in a closer game last weekend. We'll get to your game last week in a moment, but what is your first overview look, or what can you share with us about Stoneham, a program which has been very tough over the years?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the first things that stands out. You know, obviously, being a high school coach for many years in the North Shore, Stoneham's consistently put together teams that have been successful. So it speaks a lot to about the coaching staff and their program in general. If you think about it, 2 years ago, I think they made it the second round of the tournament. Obviously, last year, they played St. Mary's in the Super Bowl. You know, and to your point a minute ago, they knocked off the number 2 seed. So they know how to win in big situations and challenging situations. So we certainly have our hands full. I think, you know, some of the things they do offensively, you know, the double wing approach to offense is a challenge, right? And it's why a lot of schools across the country run that style of offense, and they certainly run it extremely well. So, you know, although our defense is one of our bright spots and certainly was one of our bright spots last week, it's certainly going to force us to really be disciplined and be physical up front.
Now, that their double wing offense, is that similar to what Winthrop might do, or is it or any opponent that you've faced this year?
It has some similarities, so it's all rooted on, you know, the kind of old school single wing kind of football. But, you know, some of, you know, if you think single wing football, what evolved from single wing football is kind of the wing tee, which is what Winthrop runs. And the double wing is a variation of it. But it's really predicated on, you know, keeping the offensive line really tight, using leverage to gain an advantage. And because you have a double tight end, double wing, it actually adds another gap to cover versus a more traditional, like a tight end set. So, you know, that philosophy is rooted on leverage and trying to outnumber you at the point of attack. And, you know, watching film, you know, so far on these guys, they've really been able to do that pretty much against every opponent they've played.
So last question on them would be size, speed, athletes to watch. I mean, elements that they bring to the table on either side of the football. What can you share with me there on Stoneham?
Yeah, I mean, I think their offensive line is extremely physical. And again, it's a big part of that double wing philosophy. And for us to be successful, we're certainly going to have to do a really good job controlling the line of scrimmage. Because they do such a good job of moving the ball at you know, 3-4 yard clips, it really lulls a lot of defenses asleep, and you know they'll get people to pack in the box to really try to slow them down, and that opens up their throwing game. So even though they only throw, you know, 10-15% of the time, those 10-15% of the times can really be really big plays because they really get you kind of crowding the box to try to slow down their run game. So we got to be on the lookout for that. I would say, you know, they're pretty balanced when it comes to talent. They got some guys that really can, which allows that double wing offense to work, right? Because they can give it to multiple people. But obviously, number 2 is a good football player. You know, he's someone that certainly stood out on film. But I think that they do a good job balancing things. But when push comes to shove, I think, you know, 2 is one of their go-to guys.
All right, let's go to let's get to the Witches right here. You guys opened up the tournament with a 33-26 win over Dennis Yarmouth at home, then also last week at home, 55-0 over Cardinal Spelman, but just 12-0 at the half. Maybe your reaction to last Friday's game against Spelman.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going into that game, have a lot of respect for Cardinal Spelman. You know, on, you know, what I saw in film and just talking about the coaches that have gone against them, you know, they are one of the better teams in this area. And it showed, you know, we struggled in that first half against them, you know, obviously generating offense for us. We sputtered quite a bit. We got inside the red zone a handful of times, but just couldn't finish those drives. And we did some things uncharacteristically offensively. But, you know, football is, you know, one great thing about football is there are other phases to the game outside of offense. And, you know, our defense played phenomenal throughout that whole game and really kind of lit a fire, I think, in our team just with their performance. Albert Pujols' interception for a touchdown really kind of, I think, ignited things. And then we also had some huge plays on special teams in that game. You know, Devontae Ozuna had a big kick return later in the game. We had another kick, a punt return, where Dante Ozuna was running down the sidelines, was about to get tackled out of bounds, and he had already returned it about 35, 40 yards. He actually lateraled it to his teammate, Rocco Ryan, who then ran it in for a touchdown. So we were able to generate offense in other ways, which was great to see, and a lot of other areas where people were stepping up to compensate for maybe some of our shortcomings in the first half offensively. But then in the second half, I think, again, like I said, a lot of the performance in other phases of the game ignited our team, and our offense really came together and were able to move the ball nicely in the second half.
Well, we've talked about Albert Pujols a number of times, and as a receiver, he's top-notch. But as a defender, he's equally, I guess, as impactful for you guys with those four interceptions last week, two of them for touchdowns. So, and special teams, or not special teams play, but turnover play, special teams play can be so important for a team. And you mentioned it sparking a team when it needed a spark. So I guess tell us the Pujols impact on both sides of the ball last week, if you could.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe you take a step back if you think about Albert, his ability to generate plays at critical times is something that he's notorious for. You know, I can even remember last Thanksgiving him having a toe-touching kind of almost unbelievable catch, one of the best catches I've seen in high school against our rivals. You know, and then you fast forward into this season, you think about the classical catch, right, that won us the game at the end. You know, that was to him. So he always finds a way to get things done in the most critical parts of the season. And I think in this week's game, you know, although our offense was struggling at times, he's a kid that recognizes it's time to generate. We need to generate in some way, shape, or form. And not only was he able to, you know, to get one or two turnovers in a game is a pretty big deal. So for a young man to have four turnovers, two touchdowns, and one of them he could have actually scored again, but we were looking to obviously just run the clock out, so we went down. So, you know, he's a young man that super impressed with, and what makes it even more special is just he's a high character kid. He's great to be around. He's a kid that's extremely coachable, and you know, he's someone that I look forward to every day to just even go hang out with. He's somebody that's going to be successful in anything he does. And I think the outcome of last Friday night's game just showcases the type of kid he is.
You know, I want to go to you mentioned the toe touch catches, if you will, just in bounds like he did, like I saw in the classical game you saw Thanksgiving against Beverly a year ago. But I mean, that shows a high acumen for football, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't it show? I mean, a high level of training, obviously, but also just great instincts for the game.
Yeah, and I can say that's one of the reasons why he's such a great defensive back. He definitely has not only an understanding of body position, but he understands, you know, route patterns and where, you know, offensive players want to break their routes and to get separation, and he uses that to his advantage, right? So as a lot of his offensive know-how, he actually leverages quite a bit on defense, and it's come up big all year long. And I think, obviously, this particular week, there's a lot more light shined on it because it's such a great performance. But if you look throughout the year, he's had a stellar performance. It might not be in the turnover realm, but if you look at our ability to defend some of the better receivers in the conference, or even in our schedule just in general, Albert's played a huge role in that.
All right, Corey Grimes, your quarterback, but also it seems like we're talking two-way performances here, so let's bring Corey into that mix as well. 198 yards passing last week against Spelman, and also share with our listeners his two-way presence as well on defense and offense.
Yeah, so, I mean, for us, defensively, he plays a hybrid role, which is almost like a nickel or a kind of a semi D-back, but he also plays, it's like an outside linebacker position. And especially in the age of spread offenses, you really need a dynamic player that can kind of be physical in the box to stop the run, but also is fast enough and has enough spatial awareness to be able to cover down the field. And I think, you know, Corey is one of those athletes that fits that bill. He really gives us a lot of flexibility in the way Coach Robinson calls our defense, and it really puts us in a position for success. And I think if we just even think, maybe not this week, but the week before against Dennis Yarmouth, he had on defense the interception that sealed that win, right? They were going in for a score in the final seconds of the game, and he was able to pick the ball off to give us the ball back in the victory. So although we spend a lot of time talking about Corey's excellence on offense, he has been certainly a cornerstone to our defensive success this year. And then offensively, as you stated, he had just under 200 yards passing. What's really, you know, amazing about that is the majority of that came in the third quarter. So he was able to generate quite a bit of offense in a very short period of time. I don't think we had more than, I think, six or seven plays in the third quarter altogether. You know, again, to generate that type of offense with limited number of plays, I think just speaks to his ability to understand what a defense is giving him and then certainly exploiting it.
Let me just wrap up with maybe one last question here, but I'm going to make it a lengthy one here for you, but hopefully you can shorten it down if you want. But since we're on the theme of two-way performances here, let's bring these other two guys in here too, Devontae Ozuna and Rocco Ryan. And maybe talk to us, maybe starting with their defensive prowess, and then obviously their offensive prowess has gotten a lot of notoriety, if you will, in the papers when you recap games and so on. But tell us about those two on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, so I mean, I think defensively, Dante Ozuna, you know, plays our Mike linebacker. He's in the middle of everything. I think about any team that I've been fortunate enough that has had a great deal of success. Defensively, typically, you look at who's playing the Mike linebacker. And any of those teams, typically, you have somebody that is a high performer, that can get things done, that understands, you know, football, that can kind of make us right when maybe we align wrong. And I think he checks all the boxes, right? Just a talented young man that, you know, has a nose for the football, is a physical player, but he also has speed, right? And a lot of Mike linebackers typically are a little bit more bulky because they're going up against 270-pound linemen. So typically that position is a little bit more sturdy. And, you know, although Devontae is, a good-sized kid, I think what makes him, you know, as good as he is that his ability to navigate blocking schemes and sniff a ball out. So and that relates back to how great he is on offense, right? He slow plays a lot of blocking schemes to find seams to generate explosive plays offensively. And I think he uses that same talent on defenses to navigate blocking schemes to get to the ball carrier before anybody else. So he's somebody that, again, when you talk about an anchor of our defensive play, anybody that plays against us, people have to spend a minute figuring out how they're going to block him. And I think that says a lot about his play so far this year on defense. When it comes to Rocco, if we go back a year ago as a sophomore, he was elected captain. So I think starting right out of the gate, that kind of tells you a little bit about who he is. you know, being a two-way player as a sophomore in the Northeast Conference is a big ask, and then throw a captain label on top of that, I think, you know, can put a lot of pressure on a lot of kids, and that can impact their performance. But to be honest with Rocco, I think it just, you know, it led to him playing it at a more elite level. And, you know, defensively this year, he's somebody that not only has been somebody that has generated for us, whether it be turnovers, whether it be interceptions, causing fumbles, his coverage in space, you know, typically when we're talking about shutting someone down, he's somebody that we're going to leverage and match up with. So the great thing is that as a junior, you know, he's a little bit bigger, faster, stronger, and defensively we've actually moved him up and put him into positions where he has to defend in the box, right? So he's no longer covering guys in space. He's playing a little bit more of a hybrid role, similar to what Corey's doing in some situations, which gives us even that much more versatility for our defensive staff to really put us in a position to be successful. So really proud of where he's progressing. And obviously offensively, he's one of our top targets that have, you know, he's broken several Salem High, you know, records so far this year. And just looking forward to the opportunity to watch him play a couple more times this year. And, you know, again, continue to find the end zone and continue to make this team better.
Absolutely. Well, great information, Matt. Really, really enjoyed all of that insight. And you know, having met with those captains at least once this year, once or twice, great kids. They love the game. Like, it really shows. And, you know, they're having a great time this year, as they should. And on that note, Matt, great luck on Friday night against Stoneham.
Appreciate it.
There he is, Matt Bouchard, head football coach at Salem High School, here on MSONewsSports.com.